As many of you may know, the Youth Council of our church sent a group of young people over to London for 2 weeks of outreach. And if you're here and you were praying for that trip, I want to give a word of thanks to you. Because we knew God's help and we knew God's presence as we went round the doors and as we went round the streets talking to people and telling them of God's word and what it says. And I do trust that God will bless his word. He's promised it will not return unto him void. But as we went round the streets, and as we went round the doors, you meet lots of different types of people. We met people from many different countries in the world. And you met lots of different types of characters. Some were quite quiet and others were quite loud and some were just in between. But tonight I want to talk to you about three people who I met. Not only in London, but also met over here. And out of these three people, there's a verse here found in 1 John that applies to each one of them. The first person I want to talk to you about whom I met on the streets of London was Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect was a very well-dressed individual. He was very neat and tidy, and he was very respectable looking. Mr. Perfect drove a pretty nice car, and he lived in a pleasant home. He always kept his garden nice and neat, and well, he didn't bring any shame upon his neighbors. Whenever you talked to Mr. Perfect, he told you about himself, and he said that he had a good and a respectable job, which he worked hard at. He was a hard worker. Mr. Perfect went on to tell me that he was a principled man, that he knew the difference between right and wrong, and he always sought to do that which was right. Mr. Perfect went on to tell me that he was a generous man, and he was kind. He didn't like to see people in trouble. He didn't like to see people who were poor. And within reason, he would try and help them where he could. Mr. Perfect said that he was a family man, that he cared for his family, and he provided for them. Mr. Perfect, in reality, and really in short, he went on to say that he was pretty good, and that he was an example to society. He said that if people were to live more like him, well, then the world would be a better place. He was an example that could be followed. He was an excellent and a good and upright man. But that was all of Mr. Perfect's opinion. That was his own opinion. And Mr. Perfect, whenever I talked to him about the things of God, Mr. Perfect just said, "Well, listen here, Paul. Whenever I die and I stand before God on that day of judgment, I'll be able to say to God, 'God, I haven't done anybody any harm. I haven't annoyed anybody. I've let them go about their own business. I haven't tried to interrupt. They've got their beliefs. They've got their faith. And I've got mine. I'm not interrupting them. I haven't done anybody any harm.'" And he says, "Sure, God will just let me on in." Perhaps there's someone here, and perhaps you would fit into that description. You would describe yourself as someone who is good and respectable, someone who works hard, someone who doesn't do anybody any harm, who doesn't butt in where you're not wanted, someone who doesn't bring shame on your neighbors or on your family. And you believe that whenever you die and you stand before God on that judgment day, you'll just be able to say, "Well, I haven't done anybody any harm, God. Just let me on in." The verse in 1 John that's very applicable to Mr. Perfect is found in verse 8. "Because God's word," not man's word, "God's word, which is true, says," in verse 8, "if we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Again, it's repeated in verse 10 for emphasis. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect, if you're here this evening, can I ask you a question? Have you ever told a lie? Perhaps you might begin to say, well, hold on. If I lie, I only do it for other people's benefit. Whenever my wife asks me what I was doing the other night, I don't tell her the truth because if I told her the truth, it would hurt her. So I lie. It's for her good that I lie. Whenever my boss comes and asks me what I did for those extra few minutes over lunchtime, I don't tell him the truth because if I told him the truth of what I was really doing, he'd get in a bad mood. And so by me lying, I'm doing him a favor by making him not get in a bad mood. Mr. Perfect, the Bible tells us, and God commands, thou shalt not lie. And if you tell a lie, it makes you a liar. And ask you another question. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? You didn't have to rob a bank. But have you ever taken something off somebody that didn't belong to you? Perhaps whenever you were younger. Again, you might make an excuse and say, but here, hold on, whenever I took that thing, that person didn't really need it. They weren't using it. You know, in fact, it was actually better that I had it than they had it because they were wasting it. And in reality, it's not really stealing, it's just long-term borrowing. These are excuses. And they say that they will not stand in the day of judgment. God says, thou shalt not steal. And if you've taken something that does not belong to you, then you are a thief. Mr. Perfect, can I ask you another question? Have you ever lost your temper and in the spur of the moment taken God's name in vain? Taken God's name and used it as a curse word? If so, God says He'll not hold one person guiltless that taketh His name in vain. And God condemns you, a blasphemer. Let me ask you another one. Mr. Perfect, have you ever been walking down the street and you've seen a real good looking person walking down the street and you've looked at them and you've lusted after them? If that's the case, Jesus Christ, whenever He was on this earth, He said that whosoever looketh at another person to lust after them hath committed adultery already in his heart. Mr. Perfect, if you were to die today in the state that you are in, you were to stand before God and He was to judge you according to His standard, according to His Ten Commandments, you'd be seen as a liar, as a thief, as a blasphemer, and as an adulterer. God says here in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Mr. Perfect, listen to God's word. Do not be deceived. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Don't be deceived. But there's one other person I met when I was out in the streets of London, and that was Mr. Full of Hope. Mr. Full of Hope is not like Mr. Perfect. Because Mr. Full of Hope, although he's neatly dressed, and although he works hard in his work too, and he's kind and looks after his family, Mr. Full of Hope realizes that he's not perfect. Mr. Full of Hope knows that he sinned against God. He knows that he's done things that are wrong in his life. He knows that he's lied. He knows that he's taken things. He knows that he's been disobedient to his parents and to those whom God has put over him. However, Mr. Full of Hope, whenever you talk to him and you ask him, what are you going to do whenever you die and you stand before God in the day of judgment? Mr. Full of Hope says, well, Whenever I die and I stand before God in that day, I'm going to hope in His mercy. He'll just let me on in. You see, Mr. Perfect, he thought he was good enough in his own works. And he had no time for Scripture. He didn't care what the Bible said. He just thought he was good enough in his own eyes. But Mr. Full of Hope, he's different. He has a little knowledge of the Scripture. And he comes to the likes of 1 John and he looks at verse 9 and he says, "If we confess our sins, He that is God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Whenever you talk to Mr. Full of Hope, he'll say, "You know, Paul, whenever I sinned, whenever I did something that I knew was wrong, like whenever I lied to my neighbor the other day, you know, I prayed to God and I asked Him to forgive me. Say, God, I know it's wrong, but forgive me." Mr. Full of Hope will go on to say, "You know, whenever I took those extra couple of minutes at work, you know, I've done a little bit of extra overtime to try and make up for it and ask God to forgive me. And, you know, 2 months ago, whenever I lost my temper, I hit my wife. And I knew it was wrong, but ask God to forgive me." And the list would go on and on. And Mr. Full of Hope, he's exactly that. He's full of hope. Hope in God's mercy. That God will just forgive him, just for confessing his sin. He'll also hold to other passages of Scripture, such as Deuteronomy 4 in the verse 31, where it says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." And also Psalm 103 in the verse 8, where it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, plenteous in mercy." And he'll say, whenever you ask him, "I'm hoping in God's mercy. But you know, I'm also hoping that my good deeds, you know, that they'll try and outweigh my bad deeds. Because, you know, I do lots of good things. I help a lot of people. I'm kind to my friends. I give stuff to the poor. You know, my good deeds will help balance out my bad deeds. And sure, anything that doesn't balance out, well, God will just be merciful and let me on into heaven." Mr. Full of Hope, if you're here this evening, can I put an illustration to you? Now, can I warn you, it's a terrible illustration. It's a horrible illustration. But I hope you'd I want you to try and understand where I'm coming from whenever I give it. Imagine that you were to invite me round to your house some night. And I was to come round. And you were to let me into the house and you were we're to sit and chat in the living room. Your family was there, your wife and your children. Now you were talking about a certain thing and you wanted to go up to upstairs to get that thing. So you could bring it down and show it to me. And as you went upstairs, you heard a scream from your wife. And as you came downstairs in a bit of a rush and a bit of a panic, not knowing what was happening, as soon as you got to the bottom of the stairs, you looked towards the kitchen and you saw me stand in the kitchen with a knife in my hand, putting it into your wife again and again and again. The blood was starting to gush out. You looked at your wife. The blood just completely drained from her face. With one last look at your wife, she closed her eyes and she dropped down to the ground. She just flopped. You saw me just drop the knife in the ground and just walk on out the door. A few days later, the police catch me. And I'm brought before the Supreme Court. And as I'm brought, I'm put in the docks. And I stand in the docks before the judge. The judge turns around and says, "Paul, do you plead guilty to murdering this man's wife?" And you stand there. And I say, "Yes, Judge, I plead guilty. I don't deny it. I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. But Judge, sure have mercy on me." You're not a merciful judge. Tell me, what would your reaction be standing there in that courtroom? Would you not be outraged? How dare he try and demand mercy? How dare he ask for it? He murdered my wife in cold blood and he shows no remorse for it. What if I was to turn around and say to the judge, "But judge, I'm a doctor. On average, I see 5 people's lives every day. So what if I decide to kill one person? Do my good deeds not outweigh my bad deed?" What do you think the judge should do? Can I tell you the truth? If that judge was to let me go, that judge would be a wicked, godless, and immoral man. I would deserve life imprisonment at the very least, if not capital punishment, for the crime that I had committed. Pleading for mercy is not good enough. My good deeds, no effect. I sinned, I broke the law, and I deserve to pay the consequences. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The punishment of sin is death. Eternal death in hell. It's the wrath of God. If you're here, Mr. Full of Hope, Mrs. Full of Hope, I plead with you. Confessing your sin is not enough. Trying to rely on your good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds is not enough. Be not deceived. God's word says it's not of works. It says it's by the gift of God. It's by God's grace that we're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Perhaps you're sitting here tonight and you're wondering, well, being good's not enough. Pleading for God's mercy, it's not enough. Well, then what else is there? When I tell you finally about the third person I've met on the streets of London, that's Mr. Helpless. You see, there's plenty of Mr. Perfects in this world, and there's an abundance of Mr. Full of Hopes. And there's not too many Mr. Helplesses. But let me tell you about Mr. Helpless. Mr. Helpless, he's not like Mr. Perfect or Mr. Full of Hope. Mr. Helpless walks with his head low. He walks in humility. The reason being because he knows how he stands before God. He knows that he has done wrong. He knows that he has sinned. He knows that he has lied. He knows he has taken God's name in vain. He knows that he's seen as an adulterer, a blasphemer, and a thief. And he knows that the punishment of such is death, eternal death in hell. And he knows that nothing that he can do, no good deeds, can outweigh the fact that he's broken God's law. However, although Mr. Helpless walks with his head low, not filled with pride in himself, Mr. Helpless walks with a smile on his face. Because you see, Mr. Helpless has a Christian name. And his first name is Dependence. He's known as Dependence Helpless. You might ask, well, what's so important about that? The verse that applies to Mr. Helpless is found here in verse 7. It says there at the second half of verse 7, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You see, Mr. Helpless, although he knows his sin, he's heard of a man who lived 2,000 years ago. He heard of a man called Jesus Christ. And he's heard the word of God. He's heard the truth of God's word. How that before this world began, God made a covenant. God made a promise. That after the first man would be a representative of all mankind. That whatever that first man would do, all mankind would either benefit or suffer from it. That first man was Adam. Mr. Helpless, as he read in the book of Genesis and he heard God's word, he heard about how that man fell. Adam fell. And because of such, sin entered into the world. And that's why he stands helpless. His surname, by nature, he's helpless. He tends towards sin. Because of his representative of Adam. However, Mr. Helpless heard also that God, before he made the world, he gave another person. God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be another representative. And Jesus Christ would come down to this earth. And he, whatever he did would be a representation of his people. He would do it on behalf of his people. And Mr. Helpless, as his ears picked up to hear about what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did, he heard about how Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, not for his own benefit, but how he did it for him. He lived that perfect life on his behalf. Mr. Helpless, in excitement, he heard also about how Jesus Christ went to a cross, and how he shed his blood, and he paid the debt for his sin. Jesus Christ paid the debt for the sin of Mr. Helpless. How Jesus Christ said, "It's finished. The debt's paid." Mr. Helpless went on to hear from God's word about how Jesus Christ, after he died, he rose again from the dead. And that he ascended to heaven. And he sits now at the Father's right hand in the power of an endless life. And as such, Mr. Helpless understanding, he realized that in the first Adam, by nature, I'm helpless and I deserve hell. However, Jesus Christ, the representation, the second Adam, he lived the perfect life. So in him, I can have that perfect life. Jesus Christ died that perfect death. So in Jesus Christ, I can have that perfect death. I can have that payment paid. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And so Mr. Helpless realized that in Jesus Christ, I can have that resurrection life. I can ascend to heaven. And I can have that eternal life with him. Because he is my representative. And Mr. Helpless finally heard about how he could have all of what Jesus Christ did applied to him and given to his account. And it was very simply this. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent. Mr. Helpless, repent. Turn from your sin. And put your trust in the gospel. Put your trust in the good news of Jesus Christ. Mr. Helpless, turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, that he is all of this to you. He is the perfect righteousness. He is the payment of your sin. He is the resurrection. He is the eternal life. Put your trust in all this. And you'll be saved. That's why Mr. Helpless is called dependence. He's not depending upon his own works. He's not depending upon his own old nature. He's depending entirely upon Jesus Christ. All that he has done. And all that he is. It was great to talk to Mr. Helpless. Miss him. It was great to hear of his dependence. Because you see, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Full of Hope, by relying on their own good works, by relying on their own good deeds, the Bible tells us that they will end up in hell forever. But the Bible tells of the great hope. And Mr. Helpless heard of that hope. And as such, he put his dependence upon it. He put his full weight not upon his own works, but upon the works of Christ. And as such, he was sure of heaven. He was guaranteed of heaven. because of the blood that Jesus Christ had shed. And that blood will never lose its power. Jesus Christ cannot take back what he has done. It's there, it's constant, it will remain for all eternity. It will never change. And as such, Mr. Helpless has eternal life from now for all eternity. Dear listener here this evening, who are you? I'm not so worried about who you came in as. I'm worried about who you go out that door as tonight. You go out that door as one of these three people. You go out that door as Mr. Perfect, relying on your own works, not caring about what the Word of God has to say. Or you go out that door as Mr. Full of Hope, having some understanding of God's Word, but just believing that He's merciful. And just hoping that God will just let you on through. Or you go out as Mr. Helpless, depending upon Christ and all the work that He has done. His life, His death, His resurrection, and His eternal life. If you go out as Mr. Helpless and Mr. Dependent, you go out there, see. You go out there with eternal life. Who will you go out there as this evening? Trust in yourself or full trust in Jesus Christ and His blood and His work? I plead with you. Do not go out that door as Mr. Perfect or as Mr. Full of Hope. This message is the greatest message that you could ever hear. Because it's not a story. It's not a theory. It's the word of the Almighty God. It's true. And you can put your life upon it. You'll be changed for all eternity if you put your trust in Christ. And you say, "Oh Lord, forgive me for my sins." You're pleading God's mercy, but you're also pleading God's justice. God, Christ has died on my behalf. Be just. The payment's paid. Apply it to me. See, that's the difference between Mr. Full of Hope and Mr. Helpless. One just pleads God's mercy. The other pleads God's mercy and God's justice. Christ has died for me. Apply it to my life. Go out that door as Mr. Dependence Helpless. I plead with you tonight. If you could turn your hymn books, please. The hymn